Got a change for you on your program. On the upper right-hand corner, we got some events that are coming up. And there in the upper right-hand corner, we have a ladies' group. It's called Wings. They meet on Tuesdays. And it says that they're going to be meeting at 1 o'clock. Thanks, Jay. Going to be 1 o'clock on Tuesday. Would you change that time to 12 o'clock? They're going to be having a lunch. And so they just wanted me to make sure that you knew about that. And they also wanted to make sure, ladies, that every single one of you are invited to that. So make sure you make that notation. They'd love to have you there. The story is told about a cab driver and a preacher who died at about the same time. And consequently, since they died at about the same time, they arrived in heaven about the same time. Now, the cab driver is welcomed to heaven by St. Peter himself. And St. Peter asks him, now, you were the cab driver, right? And the guy goes, yeah, I was a cab driver. Peter said, I've got really good news for you. See that mansion way over there? That's your mansion up on the hilltop. Welcome to heaven. We're really glad that you're here. Now, the pastor overhears the conversation going on, and he's thinking to himself, you know what? What in the world am I going to get? I mean, I've led people to Christ pretty much my whole life. What will I get? And so he steps up to talk to St. Peter. He introduces himself, and Peter says, I know who you are, and I know that you've led people to Christ pretty much your whole life. And so the pastor asks the question, well, where's my place? I saw what the cab driver got. Where's my place? And Peter said, well, do you see that little shack right down over there, that little dumpy shack by the stream? That's your place down there. And the pastor goes, well, wait a minute. That's not fair. I mean, I've led people to Christ my whole life. That's just not fair. And Peter said, you need to understand something, sir. You need to understand that every single time that you preach a sermon, there were people sleeping in the pews. Every single time that cab driver was driving, people were praying in that back seat. Here's the deal, folks, with a life on mission. Here's the deal. You've got to bathe it in prayer. If you're going to connect people with Jesus Christ, if you're going to grow people deeper in Jesus Christ, you've got to pray. Pull out your sermon outline. It kind of keeps us focused. It's an opportunity for you, too, to jot down some notes. And this morning, what I want to do is to kind of begin looking at the end of the story, and then we'll work our way back. Let's look, first of all, at a scripture found in the book of Matthew, the first book in your New Testament, the book of Matthew chapter 9. There it says, beginning in verse 35, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages in that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, and this is what he said, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Now, at first glance with that scripture in my mind, I'm thinking, you know what that looks like? That looks like a pep talk. That looks like a pep talk. That looks like, hey, listen, let's go take that hill for Jesus. Let's go take that hill for God. Come on, let's do it. But I don't think that's exactly what Jesus was doing here. Look at the next verse, if you would. Verse 38. Jesus says there, so pray. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Jesus is saying here, here's your task. Here's your mission. And in order to accomplish the mission, you've got to pray about it. And the end of the story is this. The end of the story is that Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus then was raised up from the dead. He walked out of the tomb. And before he went back to heaven, he told us, here's how it's going to work from now on. I'm not going to be here, but this is how we can carry on the mission. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is what he's talking about. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. I want you to notice in that very first section of Scripture we looked at, Jesus says he wants us to pray. And then in the second section of Scripture that we just looked at, he says, just listen, there's going to be some power behind the prayer. You see, this ragtag bunch of guys called the disciples, they changed the world. And how did that happen? That happened because, well, they prayed about it. Now, let's work our way forward, shall we? Let's turn to the book of Mark in your New Testament. The book of Mark, we're going to be looking at quite a few verses there this morning, just here initially. The book of Mark, chapter 1, let's begin in verse 29. So after Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. The whole town showed up here. The whole town came out to see what was happening. Now, Mark chapter 1, let's go up to verse 21 this time. Up to verse 21. There Jesus and his companions, it says, went to the town of Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went to the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. Suddenly, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus reprimanded him, "Be quiet. Come out of the man," he ordered. At that, the evil spirit screamed and threw the man into a convulsion and then came out of him. Amazement then gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. "What sort of new teaching is this?" they asked excitedly. "It has such authority, even evil spirits obey his orders." The news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. Now, let's recap very quickly what these scriptures talk about. First of all, we see Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law, or Simon Peter's mother-in-law. We see that. Not only do we see that, but we also see Jesus healing a bunch of other people. We also see Jesus casting demons out of people. But that's not what I want you to focus on. Here's what I want you to focus on. Look at verse 35, and this is kind of what we're going to be talking about today. Verse 35 says, "Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up, and he went out to an isolated place to do what, church? To pray." Jesus went out to an isolated place to pray. After everything has happened so far in these verses, don't you think Jesus already knows he's got the power of God working through him? I mean, doesn't Jesus know that? Of course he knows that. But what we see here, in spite of the fact that Jesus knows that God's working through him, Jesus also knows that he's got to begin his day with prayer. He's got to pray about these sort of things. He's got to pray about everything he does. I got a picture for you to look at. Remember this guy here? Remember him before Steve Carell? His name is what? Maxwell Smart. Okay, here's another bit of trivia for you. He was, remember when he worked for the agency, everyone was agent, you know, and had a number after it. What was his number? He was agent 86. Good job. Good job. He was Agent 86. Agent 86, Maxwell Smart, Don Adams. He had probably the very first cell phone that we've ever heard of. In fact, I don't know anybody that has a cell phone in their shoe, right? Why did he use his phone? He used his phone in order to call control. Why did he call control? He called control because he needed the power to do what he needed to do. Here's my point. We have got to tap into the power. We have got to tap into the power of God. We've got to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do what God wants us to do. We cannot do our mission unless we connect to the power. And how can we connect to the power? We don't connect to the power with a cell phone. We connect to the power through prayer. Jesus says, pray about these things. Jesus himself went out and prayed early in the morning. And so that begs the question, folks, why in the world is prayer so important? Why is prayer so important? I've got three reasons as to why prayer is important today. And the first one is this: prayer gives us the power to do the impossible. It gives us the power to do the impossible. We could never do this sort of stuff on our own. And so Jesus, he sends the Holy Spirit to us. That's what happens in Acts chapter 1. What then happens in Acts chapter 2? Look at verse 1 and following. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. This is a strange sight, right? I mean, this is really, I don't know where you come from, but where I come from, this is just downright weird, right? Flames, it seems as though they're on people's heads. Verse 4 goes on to say, Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. Now let's break these verses down very briefly. What's the deal with the wind and fire? The deal is this with the wind and fire. It got people's attention. It pretty much announced, hey, listen, God's going to be doing some stuff here, and you need to keep your eyes open. Okay, what's the deal with these languages? What's going on there? Let me explain it this way. Let's say you speak Swahili and I don't. God wants me to tell you about Jesus Christ. However, I don't speak Swahili. I don't speak your language. According to the story, what God's going to do, God gives me the ability, even though I've never studied Swahili, God gives me the ability to tell you about Jesus Christ in your language. And guess what? You understand it. Even though I've never, ever studied it, even though I don't know a word of Swahili, God's given me the ability to tell you about Jesus Christ. You see, that's what's going on in the story. God gives this small band of guys the ability to speak languages that they've never, ever studied. God enabled them to tell people who were totally different than them, who spoke a total different language than them, he gave them the ability to tell them about Jesus Christ. There's a retired preacher, Christian church preacher. His name's Ben Merrill. I've heard Ben Merrill speak several times in my life. He was at a church in Fullerton, California called Eastside Christian Church years ago. He and God grew that church to several thousand, and he decided to retire, and so he did. He decided to retire back in the Midwest where he's from, and he retired in St. Charles, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis, and he retired there and took a part-time small church. That part-time small church now is even bigger than his church that he had out in California. It runs thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, and now he's finally retired again. Ben Merrill said this years ago. He said, sometimes in the church we put up with things we don't like to reach people who aren't like us. If we are going to connect people to Jesus Christ, if we are going to grow people deeper with Jesus Christ, they're going to be different than us. And guess what? If they are different than us, that's okay. That's all right. I mean, look at the first church in Jerusalem. There were so many different kinds of people there. They spoke different languages. And the Holy Spirit of God actually united them. The Holy Spirit of God actually brought them together. Why did the church in Jerusalem turn the world upside down? Because of the power of God. Trivia question for you. Are you ready for this? Trivia question. The answer is in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Who preached the very first sermon about Jesus? His name begins with a P, and it's not Paul. Who preached the very first sermon about Jesus? Anybody? Peter, exactly right. Peter preached the very first sermon about Jesus. You can find that in Acts chapter 2. What I want you to look at are the two verses there at the end of the sermon, verses 37 and 38. Check those verses out. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him, the people who were out there said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, "Each one of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you'll receive the power of the Holy Spirit." Don't stop there. Look at verse 39, though. Verse 39 says, "This promise is to you and to your children." See the little ones sitting all over the room? The promise is to you and to your children and to those far away. Every single follower of Jesus Christ will have the power, will be given the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you might be sitting back and some of you might be saying, "Well, Lynn, you know, I hear what you're saying. I do not disagree." However, there have been times in my life, maybe numerous times in your life, where you have prayed and you've heard nothing but crickets from God. Total silence. Nothing's happened. You're going to hear what you say, but nothing happens. Dwight L. Moody, famous evangelist from the early 20th century, Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, Moody Bible Radio all over the world, missions, everything involved with Dwight L. Moody, he hit the nail on the head years and years ago. He said years and years ago that he had to pray every single morning to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Question is, why? One of the most famous evangelists in the world, a man who's led thousands to Jesus Christ, why in the world would he have to be filled with the Holy Spirit every single day? Why? You know what he said? He said, "Because I leak. I leak." Anybody in here leak? Some of you, a few of you might say, "Depends." Luke, what do you think? John? Just what Luke said. Our professional comedian goes, "Ugh." Luke, who's done a lot of comedy, goes, I don't know. Yeah, it depends. Every single morning, we have got to get up out of bed and we've got to ask God to fill us. We've got to ask God to empower us. We've got to ask God, "God, would you please give me the power to do what you want me to do?" And that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. After this sermon in Acts chapter 2, because of the power of God in those men's lives, because of the power of God working through people, do you know what happened? 3,000 people were baptized into Jesus Christ. 3,000. If you go to Acts chapter 4, guess what you find out there? You find out there in Acts chapter 4 that there were 5,000 men added then. And you know what? 5,000 men. That did not include their wives or their children. Some commentators estimate that that church in Jerusalem, the first church in Jerusalem, numbered as many as 10,000 at the minimum, maybe up to 15,000 people in the very first church. How did God grow that church in Jerusalem? Why did so many people give their lives to Jesus Christ? Because of prayer. Prayer helps you. Prayer enables you. It gives you the power to do that which is impossible. And not just that, but prayer gives you the power to know the truth. That's the second thing as to why prayer is so important. It helps you to know the truth. John 14:26. "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've reminded you." Anybody need reminders? I tell you what, I'm finding out the older I get, the more reminders I need. I mean, we all forget stuff, right? It's kind of like the two guys who want to go to lunch one day together. One guy said to the other guy, "You know what? Let's go to lunch. Let's go to that one restaurant. You know, I can't think of the name of that restaurant." Other guy goes, "Yeah, let's go to lunch, but I can't think of the name of the restaurant either." The other guy said, "You know what? It has to do with this really pretty flower, red petals, beautiful petals, and a thorny stem." The guy goes, "Yeah. That's it. Rose. Hey, Rose. Would you tell me what restaurant do we love to eat at?" Fellas, if you forget your wife's name, it's all over. You know. In fact, that little one liked my joke so much, starting to cry about it. We need reminders. The Holy Spirit will do that for us. The Holy Spirit will remind us that which we have learned. And so pray every single day. God, would you please remind me of the important things I need to do? God, would you please remind me of the important things I need to say to so-and-so? Question for you. How many of you have ever seen a lawnmower with no motor? You ever seen a lawnmower with no motor? You probably have, but you may not remember it. Some of you have. It's called a reel mower, R-E-E-L, or called a rotary mower. It's a lawnmower that has no motor, wheels or wheel here, and a bunch of blades in between, and a handle that comes up from the frame, and you push the lawnmower. You are the motor. My grandparents, Grandma and Grandpa Boughton, they lived on the farm. Grandpa farmed, I don't know how much. He had a lot of dairy cattle and hogs and chickens, the whole nine yards. But at any rate, they had a reel mower. When I'd go to the farm with them in the summertime on the weekends, I would love to play with that mower. I'd love to play with it. I tried to mow the yard. I was just a little guy. I tried to mow the yard. But the thing of it is, that reel mower, I'd push it, and I'd try to push it, and I'd try to push it. It wore me out. I was tired. I was worn out. I was tuckered out because of that mower. It didn't have a motor. Here's my point. We can be on our mission for God. We can say, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And we get worn out. We get tuckered out. We are tired. And here's the deal. We're trying to do it all under our own power. We've got to tap into the power of God in order to do anything and everything that He wants us to do. We've got to connect to the power. We've got to rely on Him. We need to pray, God, would you please connect me with my neighbors? God, would you please help me grow people deeper in Jesus Christ? And when you start praying for people, guess what? You begin thinking about people. Author and Pastor Rick Warren says, prayer makes us aware. Prayer makes us aware of other people in our lives. When you pray about people, you think about people. And that leads me to the third reason as to why prayer is so very important, and that is prayer gives us the power to take action. It gives us the power to take action, or to put it in another way, it gives us the power to actually do something. Here's one thing you can do out of this series. Here's one thing you can do out of this sermon today. You ready for this? Do a prayer walk. You can do a prayer walk. Weather in the past few weeks, although it's been wet, it's been kind of warm, right? Kind of warm, a lot warmer than it was back in January, first part of February. Why don't you get outside of your front door and take a walk through your neighborhood? You can't get outside? Why don't you come here toward the church building? Through the day, why don't you come to the church building and take a walk and start praying? Walk our hallways, walk our aisles, walk the aisles in here, walk the aisles in our chapel, walk throughout the entire building and pray for our church. Pray for other people. Pray for our leaders. Pray, pray, pray. And maybe you can't get to the church. Why don't you go to your favorite place that you like to shop? Fellas, that might be Lowe's. I spent plenty of time there this last week. Or if you like fishing, you like hunting, it might be going to Cabela's or to Bass Pro. Maybe you go to Walmart, maybe you go to Kroger, maybe you go to Meijer. Wherever you go, walk the aisles and simply pray. Now, if you're walking through your neighborhood praying, you'll walk out the front door. If you're walking through your neighborhood praying, here's one thing when you walk by houses that you cannot do. Please do not do this. Do not walk up their driveway and lay your hands on their house and begin to pray, oh God, please. Why not do that? It's just weird. I'm telling you, it might even be illegal. It's their property, not your property. But here's something you might do also. As you're walking through the neighborhood praying, you know, quietly, silently praying for house to house, why don't you take your kids with you? Parents, grandparents, one of our jobs is this, to connect the dots. As parents and as grandparents, we are to connect the dots for our kids and our grandkids. Take your kids, take your grandkids on a walk. Tell them, hey, listen, we're going to be walking through the neighborhood, and you know what? We're going to be praying for the people in this house, in that house, in that house. We're going to pray silently, but we're going to pray for them nonetheless. What do you pray? Here's something you can pray for. Pray for the kids in the house. What about this? Pray for the safety of the kids in the house when they go to school. Does that resonate with anybody in this room? Hello? Florida? We used to live in Indianapolis. We used to live in Denver, Colorado, Lakewood on the west side. We had several times folks come to our church who were part of the Columbine shooting. We had one young man who had part of his leg missing because of the shooting. Why don't you, as you're walking through the neighborhood, pray for the safety of the kids in those schools? Why don't you pray for the safety of the kids, and not just the safety of the kids, but why don't you pray for the teacher's safety as well? Why don't you pray for their effectiveness as well? I mean, we need to pray for our schools. We need to pray for the administrators. We need to pray for our teachers, that God would somehow infect that school and glorify Him. Here's something else you can pray about. Why don't you pray for the harmony in the home? Why don't you pray for the parents' jobs? Pray for families. Pray that you can connect with them. Today I want to wrap things up by reading a story, sharing with you a story. One of my favorite stories from the Bible is found in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 2. Verse 1 and following. And it's a really cool story. It begins this way in verse 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him into Jesus because of the crowd. And this is what they did. So they actually dug a hole. They went up on the roof and they dug a hole in the roof. They dug a hole in the roof above Jesus' head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Isn't that cool? They basically said, "We want our friend to walk again." They basically said, "We know that Jesus, that man from Nazareth, we know he can actually heal him. And we want him to be in front of Jesus. We want him to get to know Jesus." And check out and see what verse 5 has to say. Seeing their faith, that is the faith of these four guys, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." I'm not sure how many of you know the author, Henry Cloud, Dr. Henry Cloud. He's got some really good stuff out there. He's a Christian psychologist, and one of the books that he's written, I've recommended to several of you, is a book called Boundaries. If you have a difficult time in your life establishing boundaries with other people, that's a great book to read. He's even, you know, gone off and talked about boundaries in different sections and different age groups too. But here's another book that he's written that's really, really pretty good. It's called How People Grow. And this is what he says in that book. Virtually every emotional and psychological problem, from addictions to depression, has alienation or emotional isolation at its core. Recovery from these problems involves helping people get more connected to each other at deeper and healthier levels than they are. We are made to need each other. We are made to live in close community with each other. We are made to live out faith in relationships with each other. Receiving grace, receiving gifts from God, and receiving healing from our own souls because of the faith of faithful friends. These four guys in our story, Jesus saw the faithfulness of these four guys, and he said to the man on the mat, he said, "Guess what? Your sins are forgiven." And guess what happened after that? Check out verses 10 through 12. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up and grabbed his mat, and he walked through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like that before." I've got a thought to leave with you this morning, and here it is. Is it possible that someone in your life could come into a relationship with Jesus Christ because of your prayers? Is it possible that someone in your life who doesn't have a relationship with Christ could come into a relationship with Jesus Christ because of your prayers? The answer is yes. That is possible. I mean, can you imagine being in heaven? You're strolling the streets of gold and someone comes up to you and they say, "Thanks so very much." I mean, a friend of yours comes up to you and says, "Thanks so much for digging through the roof, for chopping a hole and digging through the roof and lowering me right in front of Jesus so that I could get to know him. Thank you so much." Is that possible? Yes, it's possible. You can pray for your friend. You can share your faith with your friend so that they can meet Jesus, so that they can be in relationship with Jesus Christ, so that they can grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. That is possible. Who are you going to pray for? Are you going to pray for your neighborhood? Are you going to pray for kids at school? Are you going to pray for that guy, that gal you work with? Who are you going to pray for so that they can grow deeper in Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father and our God, we are so grateful that we can be here today. And God, it's been a week where we've had a lot of rain. Today's been a lot of wind. But God, aside from those things that maybe is distracting to us, God, I pray that we can let all those things go and we can focus on you at this point. And God, I pray that we can look at these stories, we can look at these scriptures, and we can see you, and we can see your heart. We can see your heart to the point where you want everybody to know you. You want everybody to be with you for eternity. And so God, our task here is to lead people to Christ, is to grow them deep into Christ so that they can reproduce themselves. So God, help us now as we seek to have a closer relationship with you through your Son, Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen. If you're here today and you don't have a close relationship with Jesus, man, we'd love for that to happen. I'd love for that to happen. And if you want to talk about that, we're going to be singing a song and you can come forward and we can begin to chat about that. Let's all stand, shall we? And let's sing together. I'll meet you up front.